On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. Obviously, a lot going on in the universe of the University of Virginia and athletics right now. Men's basketball in the middle of their coaching search and waiting to kind of get to a conclusion there. We're kind of in a waiting game right now, but also spring football starting back up this week, and we have Jackie Franchulli from 247 Sports joining us now to kind of go through a little bit of everything, a little here, a little there, and we'll get to spring football in a little bit. But of course, Jackie, everything kind of centers around this coaching search right now for UVA men's basketball. The craziness, the NCAA tournament starts in a couple days here as we're talking on Tuesday, right before they get going with the first four. Man, it's nice not to have to worry about the first four this year.
Yeah, I mean, I do miss it though. This is, I was actually speaking with Greg Medea, and, you know, covering the coaching search is a different adrenaline burst because you're still trying to find out. But man, I miss actually traveling to a game in the tournament. Those are always fun to cover. So yeah, first four, it was very far last year and just traveling to it, but I do miss it.
I just don't like the first four because of the quick turnaround time. Like literally, yeah, I didn't go to Dayton, but I was sitting there on my laptop waiting to hit like the book hotel button for Charlotte right after that, and just kind of waiting to see what happened. Obviously kind of turned into a bit of a blowout last year, so I didn't have to pull the trigger there, but yeah, it's just such a quick turnaround. So I know some of the media covering UNC and you know, all those other programs, San Diego State, Texas, Xavier, they're going to be dealing with that over the next couple of days. But let's get into the bit of the waiting game now for UVA men's basketball and kind of like a timeline of what people should be expecting, because it's kind of, you know, things have kind of been quiet, which, you know, you can take that for what you want to say. Like, it's pretty much done and dusted behind the scenes. It's just kind of waiting it out and it's kind of getting to the kind of announcement point, I guess. But the big kind of time to note is Thursday. That's the first round of the NCAA tournament, first games, BYU versus VCU, playing at 4:05 p.m. Why would I highlight that game?
But I was going to ask, why should we care about that game, Preston? Please tell me.
Yeah, just a certain man by the name of Ryan Odom coaching VCU. So obviously he is considered the favorite right now. And kind of if you read the tea leaves, kind of looking at some of the other coaching searches around the country, that's kind of the thing. When you're going through your own coaching search, you're looking around at other people's coaching search to see where they're at. NC State, not a lot of traction there with Ryan Odom as of late. I know there was some at the beginning. There's some, you know, cursory, interest. Villanova was kind of the bigger threat, but you know, just in the last day, you've seen them move on to Northwestern's Chris Collins, or even UCLA's Mick Cronin coming up there, which is crazy in its own right because he's got a pretty big buyout out there. But I know Mick Cronin is pretty much like putting his name out for anyone that wants to take him because
he's not happy with the Big Ten.
Yeah, he does not like the travel from Los Angeles to Happy Valley on a Tuesday night during the season. But so if you kind of look at and read the tea leaves, you know, Odom's name not coming up in a lot of these jobs right now, yeah, usually leads to you thinking, all right, he's kind of zoned in on something.
Yeah, and as far as timeline, honestly, basketball coaching searches are so different than football. A lot of people remember the Tony Elliott coaching search and how every day there was a brand new information, right? We're hearing about candidates interviewing. You're hearing about, you know, we're running to Cho to go through a chain link fence and get video of Tony Elliott coming out of a plane.
Good times.
Good times. Yes, yes. I know everyone reminds me how short I was during those things. Yes. I now have a stool in my car just in case, everybody. So don't worry.
There you go. Think ahead.
Think ahead now. But that was very different because it was the end of the season. And it was a different timeline with basketball having the coaching search happen right around March Madness. And if you're a program like UVA, you're looking for someone who's had experience. Ultimately, you want a coach that has March Madness experience. So all those candidates are not going to leave their program if they're going to compete in, the NCAA tournament. They want to go to the big dance too. So that's why everything's a little delayed. So you are most of the time, you just are waiting when it comes to, the announcement and the timing of it, because you also want to be respectful to the current program. So when this whole coaching search started, sources around VCU had already said that they were prepared to basically say goodbye to Odom regardless. So VCU had already started planning like Odom was not returning, and this was even before they had the 8-8 tournament. So that was something that was already quite known around VCU. It was just like you said, NC State, UVA, and Villanova. And to be honest, NC State was involved early, but it was always Villanova that was the big question mark in this. And people have wondered why would I always say Villanova was a bigger threat? And it was because of the rev share issue and the perception around the ACC program. That was the biggest thing around UVA when it came to this coaching search. Was that the big boogeyman when it comes to coaching candidates in the ACC is can it compete against the other Power Four conferences when it comes to rev share when there is that cap if the house settlement goes through? And that was the biggest thing, was the ACC does perceptionally look weaker when it comes to the rev share. And when you look at a team like Villanova, yeah, they'll have less TV revenue, but they don't have football to compete with. So when it's just basketball, that's why Shaka Smart was, obviously that was connected to UVA early. But he's staying at Marquette because it's just easier to be the team in his program when you're dealing with NIL rather than competing with football, who, drives your revenue. So that was some of the consideration that you saw behind the scenes. But in the last week, I mean, last, especially the last couple of days, because I think Pitino had a little bit more smoke. Gosh, was it just a week ago? Or a week and a half ago, when Patino had more smoke around him, things started trending more towards Odom when we kind of figured that the whole Nova job was going to be open. So you started hearing whispers of other candidates going towards Nova. Odom was listed, but it didn't feel like Odom had more smoke at Nova anymore. And sources close to VCU and Odom was saying like he's trying to see if Nova was interested. So that's where we were trying to wait the domino to effect. Yes. We figured everybody knew that Neptune's days were numbered, but until solid info was coming out of Nova, who was their number one candidate, you always were looking at that. When that kind of dropped, that domino fell, and you started seeing more clear picture there. Then you started seeing the clear picture at UVA too. And there was no question Odom was, the number one target once officially things started moving, especially the timing of Tony Bennett's retirement. And if you asked me if Tony Bennett retired in the spring of last year when the first set of rumors, I would not say Odom was the number one target. I think there was another coach that would be the number one target who's currently in another Power Four school. But Odom was a name on the short list, at least. So when this job came, they were doing a national search when Tony Bennett stepped down and retired. Odom's name already was on the short list from the previous list. So that's why that was naturally where a lot of people were headed.
And I know a lot of people will say, well, you hired this search firm, Parker Executive Search, and you do all this just to hire the guy that's down the road. It seems kind of lazy, but also at the same time, you're searching for, all right, why is this guy that's kind of right in our laps? Why is he the right guy? You're looking to eliminate, is he better than these other options out there? So it's not just, oh, go find me a coach. No, you already knew the names, but you want to make sure, all right, he's got the right qualifications. So that's why, the search firm still kind of plays a role in today's college basketball. I want to touch on the rev share real quick, just because it's such a key thing to understand in all this. The Big East was such a threat because they don't have that football aspect. I would also argue they don't have football because that would drive down how much revenue you're going to have. So,
And less NIL, because then you're not
less
competing
NIL.
football NIL. And the issue that you're having too is realignment. So when you're dealing with realignment, you have two consensus of thought. You have one thought that's all about geography and TV markets. So you're thinking, Virginia isn't a good DC market, which is why usually when S you hear about SEC, you always hear UVA and UNC's name connected because they have two really nice markets. The Triangle market in North Carolina and obviously the Charlotte market. UNC also has a national brand when it comes to Jordan. And obviously, you have the UNC basketball program. You also have Bill Belichick now. I guess an interesting name in the college football world now. So UNC has that brand. They also have some pretty decent other non-revenue sports. And then UVA obviously has good, decent non-revenue sports, but that DC market, SEC does not have a foothold there. So usually when you think about realignment, that is one of the arguments that says, hey, UVA UNC is going to be intriguing for the SEC when it comes to ACC schools, because why does the SEC want Miami? Why do they want Clemson? Why do they want Florida State when they already have the Florida Gators? Why when they have South Carolina? So geography-wise, that's one of the arguments. The other arguments is they want more football brands being in the same conference, kind of dominating their already dominant football perception, because sometimes it's just about perception. We can argue all we want about the NCAA tournament accepting more SEC teams than any other programs right now for basketball. But right now, the SEC does a really good job of promoting their conference, probably one of the best to do it, followed by the Big Ten. The ACC, we can argue, does a horrible job about it. So,
It's, yeah, I think that's accurate.
and that does affect coaching candidates. But also when you come to do with, conference realignment, when you do all that, it's affecting that too. So teams that are in the ACC and other conferences are putting more money in football. I mean, is it coincidental that realignment talks are heating up and then there's this big donation that happens for the Virginia football program? The facilities got built within the last few years. All this ties together to realignment. You're trying to make yourself more appealing for a conference. So that's something the scares if you're a basketball coach going to a Power Four team, because you can go either doing the geography focus of the realignment or football focus of realignment.
Yeah. And going back to rev share, just real quick, looking at, kind of how it's going to split up. I mean, the large majority of it is going to go to football at a school like Virginia. I think the
Right.
number I'm hearing is around 75%. And
Correct.
then the rest of that split up, mainly towards men's basketball, but also women's basketball getting some of that too. And then the rest of the sports, you got your traditional NIL to kind of help with that, and then also scholarships and stuff like that. Because I know baseball's a big deal, but it's not getting part of that big rev share pie right as of right now. Looking at and just how that sets up, I mean, I think basketball will set up pretty well for Virginia, at least comparatively, because I think a lot of the other similar football schools are going to do the same thing. They're going to give a lot more to football. And you kind of have to, just the roster size and the amount of players you need.
Right.
You kind of have to, do that. And, basketball, you're talking about, 10, 11, 12 guys. So it's not that it's a big, pretty big gap there. Timeline wise, we're looking at this Thursday, March 20th.
Yeah.
I would VCU, they're the 11 seed. It's possible that, they pull off the upset. I'm still going through my bracket. I don't know where you're at.
No, it's been such a chaos. I mean, yesterday, because we also have spring football practice. I mean, I always joke with my husband, I write one story in the morning and then I try to take 2 hour, 3 hour off for my day because you're working from like 4 to 9 and then in the evening for practice. So I haven't even looked at my bracket. I need to because my husband beat me last year, so I need to share. And then my son actually came second, so I'm really, really bad last year, so I need
Yeah.
to make up for that.
The kids always do better. I don't know what it
It's
is.
the mascot, man. They pick by the mascots. Although my daughter picked every single Wildcat, and she did not do very well.
Yeah,
So,
that's yeah.
at least she
A
was
lot of
last.
faith in Kentucky on that.
She did. She put a lot of faith in Kentucky last year.
All right, yeah, looking so Thursday would be the earliest that VCU could get knocked out and we could kind of see something kind of go. I mean, I was a little surprised, honestly, that Ron Sanchez was let go so quickly after they lost,
Right.
but I would imagine that Virginia would have to wait at least a day after Thursday to make any kind
Right.
of announcement.
Yeah. And I was even thinking about how, well, So you have a time crunch too. If let's say if they do lose on Thursday, then for if I'm Virginia, I would want to announce it by Friday, latest
Yeah, sure.
Saturday.
Friday, 5 o'clock news dump,
Saturday.
right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, wasn't Bronco Mendenhall was announced on a like Tuesday evening or Wednesday evening. I remember driving towards basketball. It was one of my last basketball games before I moved to Florida. His was announced in the evening. I think Elliot was announced on a Friday, like afternoon, because he came to chill on Wednesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Thursday, he thought about it and officially said yes. And Friday, they announced it. So yeah, maybe it is Friday. Maybe UVA just drops everything on Friday. But because the portal opens Monday, you do really want to announce it this weekend if you're if possible.
If
Interesting
possible,
press conference, I don't know.
and it may not be possible if VCU wins this game on Thursday and keeps moving on, and then you're kind of at the mercy of kind of what happens. And it's a really interesting timing because we talk about the transfer portal that opens up on March 24th. Obviously, guys can already announce their intentions, and as of recording here on Tuesday morning, no one has announced their intentions yet, although you expect some to come.
Oh, I ex yeah, it's I think people need to brace themselves a little bit for the portal. I mean, even if you have a guy who not necessarily wants to leave the program, it's the smartest decision for them to at least put their foot in the water, you know?
You keep your options open. It's now like it used to be with the draft. You put your name in the draft just to kind of test the waters and stuff. Now it's, you
Test the
put your
portal.
name in the draft, you put your name in the portal, you do everything, and then
Right.
maybe you end up back at the same school. We've seen in the last week, I think Isaac McNealy and Anthony Robinson have both signed with new NIL agents,
Right.
which, typically when you sign an agent, you're like, you want more money. Like you're looking for more money. You're looking to cash in. But that's kind of the pro model in college right now. Like you could do that at your own school. Like you want more money. So, take that for what you will. And, it could signal, an exit. It could be nothing. But it is something to monitor that a lot of these guys are going to be evaluating their options as they should be, because it's a coaching change. You don't know what the new coaching staff is going to want. Although I imagine everyone on the roster kind of has a good grasp of what is coming in the next week. As well as, so that opens the 24th. 2 days before that, we have March 22nd, the Saturday, and we have a pretty big commitment that day. Charlottesville's own Chance Mallory making his decision. I know there's been one crystal ball put in on 247 Sports, not by you, but just kind of what are you hearing around Chance Mallory?
Yeah, we actually reported, I believe, last week that Virginia seems to be in a good spot for him. That's even before things were more, I don't want to say settled, because nothing's ever settled in the coaching search. You cover enough coaching searches to know nothing's done until they sign. But we were hearing that's more. And I mean, UVA has done a good job of maintaining contact with Chance Mallory. Ron Sanchez and his staff did a good job during the season to stay in contact with that family. Carla Williams has done a good job staying in contact with that family during the coaching search. I think it you even before you talk about, Odom possibility of coming to Virginia as the head coach, he likes staying in his, playing for his hometown. The draw of playing at UVA. I mean, they've been connected to the Virginia program for a very long time. I mean, his sister interned with Tony Bennett and his staff. She's currently working at VCU with the VCU men's basketball team. So obviously she knows Odom. That family knows Odom. So there's that connection there. So yeah, right now there's so many turmoil for all the other programs that Chance Mallory also had listed as his candidates. And in this day and age, if you can choose a program that you're comfortable university-wise first, and then test out the waters there, you always have the portal in a year. So I think that has definitely helped things on a coaching search level for athletes too, that have that ability to enter the portal. But yeah, everything I hear, Chance Mallory is leaning Virginia. I'm not putting a crystal ball pick yet, but yeah, I would feel pretty confident there right now.
Everything, seems to be heading that way. I've known Chance since he was in eighth grade, and the kid was like 4 feet tall. But it always seems like, there is a draw to playing in your hometown, and it doesn't necessarily revolve around who the head coach is at the time. So it seems like, that's a good fit. And like you mentioned, there's been great relationships there. I mean, you look at, Jason Willeford and Ron Sanchez, both their kids go to STAB with Chance Mallory. So there's a deeper relationship there than you think. And, Chance, like any kid should, has taken a ton of visits, gone to a bunch of different games, taken advantage of those free tickets to go see some good games this year and look around the programs. But he's also been at UVA a fair bit because
As
guess
a visitor
what?
and a fan.
As a visitor and a fan, because guess what? He's 4 minutes away, from being at JPJ, kind of where they play their home games over there. So, yeah, looks like things are turning that way. So it's going to be a crazy next couple of days. Just whenever VCU gets bounced out of the NCAA tournament, assuming everything is tied away there with Ryan Odom to the transfer portal on the 24th and Chance Mallory's commitment on the 22nd.
Hey, maybe we have Odom announcement on the 22nd. Maybe the 22nd will be the
Do
day.
it together. A joint announcement. It is kind of interesting, kind of the parallels, and I know Coach Mox is still kind of getting things off the ground with women's basketball, and I think she had a much further back place to start with Virginia women's
Yeah.
basketball than what Ryan Odom or whoever the next men's basketball coach is going to be. But it is kind of an interesting parallel that her first big recruit, or one of her first big recruits, was the stab point guard Kimora Johnson. And now you're talking about another stab point guard in Chance Mallory. So, and I know Chance and Mo know each other really well as well. So, it's interesting time for Virginia basketball. It's going to be an interesting couple days. And I know there's, real quick before we transition to football in a little bit, there's one kind of parallel that comes back to my mind when talking about Ryan Odom, because I know like the mix, there's still a pretty big mix out there when people are talking about Odom and his track record. They're like, he's only got one NCAA tournament win. Well, that was against Virginia.
Yeah,
Tony
just the
Bennett
first time.
had Tony Bennett had three when he got to UVA. It's not a big gap, and Tony Bennett arguably was at a much better program than, I mean, much better is a big statement because Washington State's not great, especially now. But compared to, UMBC or Utah State, even VCU in the 2 years that he's been there. And he has a chance to get some more this year. But I look back and some people are like, it's the safe pick. Well, guess what? Last offseason, Arkansas hired John Calipari. That was the big splashy pick, and everyone loved it. Things a little rocky in year one for John Calipari. You know who had a great first year? Was Mark Pope at Kentucky, and he was the safe pick. He was the alum. He had the connections to the program. BYU had done all right. They really hadn't had any NCAA tournament success. Guess what? He came in, embraced that culture right away. And that's kind of the thing I'm thinking about. Sometimes the safe pick is all right. Sometimes it's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to look at what he's been able to accomplish at the teams. I think he's been able to reach the NCAA tournament at each of his programs within 2 years. So he's been able to develop a program, get the talent that he needs, and get to where he wants to go pretty quickly, right? And that's what you want to see if you're a UVA fan, is the ability to move the needle pretty quick. Because the na this day and age, I mean, if you look back at what Tony Bennett was able to do, Washington State and UVA, you had long-term goals, right? College basketball, college football, college sports in general, you have no more long-term goals. You have short-term goals. That often is what you would expect five, like a couple years ago, 5, 6 years to get to. Now you got 1 to 2 years to show that you're able to get there, just with the dynamics and everything. So seeing that Odom's been able to do that within 2 years does spark interest. And if you're a UVA fan, does get you a little more excited. Also, he knows there's, I know a lot of people put emphasis on in-state recruiting. So having a guy that's been in state understands what the Virginia program is about, because that's something that you do need to think as a strength that any coach you're looking at. UVA is a different program. UVA is a how they operate differently than some other programs. And this is a not a knock on UVA. This is just absolute fact. It's different. Having someone who's grew up around UVA through his father understands what the UVA experience and culture is will help, because you're recruiting the right athletes. You're recruiting athletes that fit that mold. Knowing that, because if you look back on Tony Elliott's first season when he was recruiting, it took him a while to understand the culture of UVA, right? And you can see that when he was recruiting too, he put emphasis on certain athletes when he could have been placing emphasis on other athletes. So you have that learning curve of a coach who might not be in that culture yet, but Odom already knows that culture. So that's certainly something that you need to see as a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what these next couple days hold for this basketball coaching search. If there's a if there's a curveball, God help us. Because
It's a mystery third candidate. We don't know who it is.
yeah, I know. Well, we'll see what happens, but we're going to talk about some spring football, a little few much fewer curveballs going on over there right now for Tony Elliott and his crew as they get going this spring. So we're going to talk about a little positional, by position overview, kind of looking at where they are this spring and looking at some of the names on that depth chart. So we'll talk about that coming up here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I am joined again by Jackie Franchulli. We are talking about some spring football now. We got the basketball part out of the way, so now we can talk about some spring football, some actual stuff going on the field. And we're going to do a little positional breakdown, go position by position, maybe give a confidence rating about kind of where UVA is with that position. And, no better place, Jackie, to start than the quarterbacks. Obviously, UVA bringing in North Texas transfer Chandler Morris and Nebraska transfer Daniel Kalen. They already had Gavin Frakes in house, a couple freshmen coming in later. But what do you make of this quarterback's room? And kind of, I guess, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your confidence rating right now?
Preston, I'm disappointed in you. You didn't mention Brady Bunch, Prosser House.
Oh. I'm always going to forget one, and if it was that one, I'm really ashamed. I'm sorry, Grady.
I mean, when you bring in two quarterbacks in the transfer portal and it seems like a very competitive quarterback room that has no animosity, I mean, you're winning already. We actually got the chance to talk to Daniel Kalen after practice on Monday. And seeing him in person, he is a much bigger framed quarterback. Just seeing him in person, I'm only 5'3", so he's definitely one that you gotta look up that. But yeah, no, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic bringing those guys in. I've heard from several, players talking about Chandler Morris, and what they like is just his experience level that he already brings. So he's already comfortable out there. Like, yeah, he's learning the playbook, and you have those early mistakes that you might see, but they said that he's just that experience veteran level of coming in and understanding what he needs to do as a leader. Definitely, you can see that. And that's something that Trill Harris said about yesterday, how he can already see that veteran leadership there, how he understands how he understands the playbook, what he needs to accomplish. But then even with Daniel Kalen, just his talent and what he's been able to do in just a few practices and his development. I mean, players are buying in. And, during off even before the spring game, those two kind of led a lot of player-led workouts together between, the quarterbacks and wide receivers. I know Trill Harris and Daniel Kalen practiced with each other. So that did help as well. So I think just that, I think Virginia did a good job of, attacking the portal by getting that veteran guy and guy that they can develop and they have good relationship with. And having those relationships did help them as well.
Yeah, I know talking to Terrell Harris on Monday night, he was saying that they do have a group chat, throwing group, and I think it's just called the UVA throwing group chat. I suggested
Right.
he find a better name for it, and he said he's going to work on that. But basically, those guys are, first one who texts in the morning, like they're getting out there and working. So that's a really good positive sign to see. That's just that chemistry already forming, and that's really important for, kind of the quarterbacks and wide receivers. I think the interesting thing too is even Tony Elliott said kind of the thing that surprised him most about Kalen and Morris really is the kind of their mobility and their ability to kind of stretch out plays, especially Morris. He's known Chandler Morris since he was a kid, but he said, seeing, his ability to kind of move around in the field. So you kind of expect them to use that to their advantage in this offense this year, kind of similar to what we saw in the past with Calandria and Musket, even in that Tech game where it seemed like they were running Musket like 20 times. But
Right.
it's a good mix that they have at quarterback.
And you're also
Confident.
pushing, Gavin Frakes. Like I've heard
Yeah.
he's doing better this spring too. And I kind of, he's kind of forgotten. Like he was
Yeah.
a portal guy last January, but he's also being pushed and he's also got some good reviews as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So confidence rating, I'm gonna go pretty high here. I'm gonna go with an 8 out of 10, just to say, I like what I've seen so far. I like the health of the quarterback room and kind of the competition there and kind of the guys that they have. Got to see it on the field. So can't go a full 9 or 10, but an 8 right now.
Yeah, I wish I would have seen him throw in practice yet. I mean,
I
be able
know.
to see him practice, throw in practice. But yeah, I would kind of agree with you with the maybe 7.5, 8, just because you have three healthy scholarship quarterback players, which I honestly haven't been able to say very much of since coming back to the UVA beat because of injuries. I think you have three really good candidates and you actually have competition. So I think it's a very healthy room.
All right, we'll go a little bit quicker on these other positions, but running backs, obviously Xavier Brown, the big name as a returner. You bring in the North Carolina Central transfer and Jamari Taylor. Noah Vaughn's injured right now. Just where do you kind of see this running back room and kind of how it sets up?
I think they're going to need to go to the portal in the spring. Noah Vaughn is hurt. Xavier Brown is a guy that will push himself and is not afraid to tackle. So you're worried about health concerns there. I like that they added Jamari Taylor, but they need to add one more. So my main concern is depth. So I'll actually put it at not because of talent. I think talent, they're actually pretty, they got some talent, but 6 because of the depth concerns that they have.
Yeah, I was thinking of 5 because of that depth issue. And we saw it last year. I mean, we get to the Virginia Tech game and they're having to put Chris Tyree back there at running back, and kind of the disaster that it kind of devolved into. I mean, when you lose Kobe Pace and Xavier Brown kind of back to back like that, like it's going to hurt. And Xavier, incredible talent. And I think both you and me last year, every game we were like, why isn't Xavier Brown touching the
Give
ball
him the
every time?
ball.
Every time he does, it's a big play. But there's the health factor, and I know the coaches are very cognizant of that, and so that's a big factor. So yeah, I think a 5 is right around the point. I know
Yeah.
they've already started making some in-grounds, maybe on some running backs, once the spring transfer portal opens up, and it's an interesting position. I like kind of some of the guys they have. I think Taylor's a bigger back,
Yeah.
to give him some more girth there, especially after you lose Kobe Pace. You don't really have that factor anymore. But it's an interesting group. I love Xavier Brown. Like that is he
Just
is
get
one
the
of my
ball. Just get the ball in his hands and able to do something.
keep him healthy, keep him upright, let him work. But yeah, we'll see kind of who they add to kind of round out that room. Wide receivers and tight ends, I'll go ahead and lump them together. So you got Trell Harris, obviously the big name there. Za'Darian Harrison, Cam Courtney, Andre Green, those are the guys coming back. The transfers, Jaden Thomas, Jamal Edgerrin, Cam Ross, the transfers, and then freshmen, Josiah Abdullah and Dylan Newton Short are the ones that are already on grounds, kind of those early enrollees. Tight ends, the real interesting name to watch there is Dakota Twitty, and the transition that he has made from wide receiver to tight end. And we got some spurts of it last year. He caught the touchdown pass. That was Clemson, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Say Jennis is injured right now. Carson Gay still on the mend. And so they got a lot of tight ends in the room, but kind of seeing kind of how that devolves. What do you think of this pass catcher group?
I think they have much more depth. I think you noticed after last season when Trell Harris got hurt, they didn't have that down the field threat anymore. They weren't able to stretch the field as much. So you had a lot of people kind of focusing on Malachi Fields, which kind of stalled their offense a bit. They didn't have that option anymore. I think having him there, but also having other options now. I mean, Edgerrin is such a big guy. I mean, I because on the first day of practice, I didn't see the wide receivers because I was more focused on the guys in the trenches. So I focused on O-line and D-line. But then I was actually next to Edgerrin. I'm like, oh yeah, he's a very big dude, especially with pads on. Like I remember seeing him with non-pads on, thinking he was big. But once you put the pads and helmet on, yeah, no, I mean they did a really good job of reinforcing that wide receiver room. And then Dakota Tunde did a great job off-season adding muscle. I mean, he's finally healthy in the spring, which is going to be s done do so much for his development in a new position at tight end. He's done like a full year cycle on that. So I'm actually like at 7.5, 8 on the and as far as the wide receiver and tight end room, because they do have options. I mean, at the slot, they have three guys that could conceivably play that position. I mean, Jaden Thomas could be the first guy coming off the sideline for them, and that's a I mean, he just played in a Notre Dame national championship game. So that's a depth that they have.
Yeah, I'm probably around a seven, and I like the depth in this room. It's funny, going into last year, we thought they had depth until we quickly realized they had no depth. And things kind of, once Terrell Harris was out of the picture, things kind of devolved. And obviously, Chris Tyree didn't have the season that, a lot of people hoped and expected he would. So it looks a lot more balanced. It looks like they actually have, like, if, God forbid, Terrell Harris went down for a game or two, they have, some speed that can help, that room out. They're not going to go fully back into it. And the other interesting thing, and this is something that Adam Mims, the receivers coach, talked about, is, they don't have that guy anymore. For years at UVA, you've gone from Dontayvion Wicks to Malik Washington to Malachi Fields. They've had that number one guy. You would assume it's Terrell Harris right now, but no one's proven themselves. No one's standing out from the pack right now as that number one guy. And so that, creates a really hungry room with a lot of opportunities for a lot of different guys. But I'm going to stick with seven because, going against my point, they don't have that number one guy that you can kind of rely on right now. So I think it's a good spot for them, though. Offensive line, weird position group as always in the spring because you're dealing with so many guys that are out with injuries. And the exciting part about this was looking at the new guys that brought in the transfers, Monroe Mills, Brady Wilson, Tyshawn Wyatt, Kevin Wigginton, and mixing with the returning guys, but the returning guys are all out with injuries. Noah Josi, Mikhail Boley, Drake Metcalf, Blake Steen, Grant Ellinger. But overall, I mean, even though you're not seeing them on the field, I feel like my confidence rating has to be pretty high. I'm going to go all the way up to like a 8.5, 9.
I'm going to stay at 7.5, 8, just because I'm interested to see how their pairings are going to group, and also who is that, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. I want to see what that looks like, because that's always what Virginia's issue was who's the next guy. I think there's a lot of talent there. Monroe Mills was hurt on Monday, so he did not practice. But yeah, I think they have a lot of potential, a lot of veteran leadership, a lot of guys that have a lot of game reps. So that's going to be interesting to see. But they definitely did a good job in the portal. I mean, they attacked the trenches. They knew that was their weak spot. And the first thing that I saw on that first day when I really focused on the O-line and D-line was, my goodness, they're bigger. They can actually go up against a 300-pound D-lineman now. So that is definitely something you notice. And I think that was a good job by the staff there.
Yeah, I asked Brady Wilson that, the center from UAB, and he was like, "Well, I'm not a very big guy, and everyone's towering over me." So, like, it's a much bigger room. And I guess, like, some of the younger guys, this gives them a good opportunity. I don't think it's going to be as bad as that first spring under Tony Elliott when they're
Oh,
having
yeah.
offensive linemen like play
Playing
both.
both sides.
Playing both sides of the spring game and switching jerseys, and Elliott's out there trying to like take the penny off. And I don't think it's going to be that bad. But here's the other disclaimer that I probably should have started with the injuries. It's the spring. No one's toughing anything out. Like,
Yeah, you don't want to, yeah, you can't.
if you got a nick, take the week off. Like,
I mean, especially when you have a guy who's had a lot of game reps, and sometimes you just want to take a practice
yeah.
to, or let's see how bad your injury is. We're not going to injure you more, and then you miss the season. So yeah.
Yeah, the spring is a lot more about the development for especially younger guys, but also it's about install for those new guys, kind of learning the system and learning all that. So it's not as pertinent that, they're getting, 1,000 reps a week or something like that. Flipping sides of the ball now, go to the defensive side. Big group here on the defensive line, and big group, as we mentioned before. Like, this is a very big group. Returning defensive tackles, Jameer Carter, somehow he's back. I think he might have another year. Who knows?
And
Anthony
Butler's
Brown.
still there.
Cam Butler's around, but he's traded in his helmet for a hat. Anthony Britton, Jason Hammond is injured still. Kind of had a setback when we talked to him about that on the podcast when he was on. TT Jones, he's kind of working in that inside group, from what I understand. I haven't been able to see the live reps or practice, but that's what I understand. And then new defensive tackles, Jacob Holmes, Hunter Osborne. And then help me with the pronunciation because I get it wrong every time. The freshman, Sichon John?
Sishon John.
Sishon John, who's gotten some pretty good reviews from defensive tackles coach Kevin
Big guy,
Dowdy.
man.
Big
Huge.
guy. They're talking about him pushing, Jameer Carter's like weight records there in the weight room. And then on the edge, some exciting names, Mekhi Buchanan. He's getting back after being missing all of last season with an injury. Kazim Moore, Fisher K-Mac, and Mitchell Melton, some big names on the edge as far as transfers. Where are you going with this defensive line? There's a lot of names in there and a lot of big guys.
Yeah, it's eight. Like, I know you were confident in the O line. I'm confident in the D line. 8.5, 9 is where I'm confident there,
I
just
think that's where I'm at too.
because just the depth. I mean, also what these guys were able to accomplish at their previous schools or what their raw talent can bring. I mean, Hunter Osborne is one that I feel like the raw talent is there. I mean, just look at him. I think he's going to be a really athletic, big guy in the middle of your defense. But Fisher Kamik, just be able to, rush the passer. Then you've got guys like Jacob Holmes that, he played inside, but he was able to get the quarterback pretty well in his previous team at Fresno State. So there's just so many guys in that position, and I don't think they're going to be in the position that they had last year where they were trying to move guys back and forth. I mean, T.T. Jones and Ben Smiley was playing inside, playing outside. They had to figure out how to fill those gaps because of the injuries that they had. I don't think that's going to be a problem this year. So I'm definitely confident in that group. They're probably the most confident out of all the groups.
Yeah, I would go full nine here. I was kind of 8.5 on the offensive line, but I'd probably go full nine on the defensive line because that depth, I mean, that is something that I can't even, I'm struggling to think of a UVA team that had good, solid depth on the defensive line.
And
It's
all of them are
been,
big. I mean, we focused on, like, I think everyone's notebook on that first day of practice, like, oh man, these guys got big. So, yeah, no, it was a good job by them in the trenches. Kevin Downs, Chris Slade did a good job.
It's such a big, you go from the end of last season at Virginia Tech, I asked Tony Elliott kind of what's the big difference between you and Virginia Tech right now? And he said the trenches, the offensive line, the defensive line. And now you're going into this spring, and that's probably the area you're most confident in is on the trenches on both sides of the ball, which is just night and day from where this program has been. It's really good to see kind of we'll see what they look like when they get on the field, but it's a good start right now. Linebacker wise, not seeing a lot of linebackers in spring ball right now. Cam Robinson, Trey McDonald, James Jackson, all healing up after a long season. I mean, Cam Robinson, what a warrior out there last year, just fighting through all those injuries. So they'll get the spring off, and but you get a good chance to see Maddox Marcellus, the new transfer from Eastern Kentucky. A couple other younger guys in there. Stevie Bracey's back at linebacker. Where do you put the confidence rating? And maybe it's like an asterisk because, the real guys that are going to be playing a lot of snaps last year aren't playing right now in the spring.
Yeah, so it's hard. Like in the spring, I'm curious to see, like Miles Brown, Landon Danley, and obviously Marcellus. But I think you got the really good talent. So I want to say 8.5, just because you have like Cam Robinson, you have James Jackson being a veteran. Trey McDonald is also a big workhorse. He was able to fill in a lot of gaps, and I thought he got better as the season went on last year. He doesn't have the speed, but he does know where to be. He's got the really good football IQ from when you're watching. He understands his role. I did like the addition of Maddox Marcellus. I'm curious about seeing the younger guys and their development. That is my big question mark, is how far along they are in their development, because the way they want to play, you need four guys, right? You need four guys to be able to rotate in. So I'm put it at an 8. And a lot of that is confidence in the starters. I mean, when you have a guy like Cam Robinson that says, you got to put me on a stretcher and take me out of the game. If not, you're not going to take me out of the game. That says a lot.
Yeah, I'd probably have to stick with an eight. It would be higher, like you're saying, if they're all out there healthy, and that's something you got to consider because last year that was a problem with, there's three guys that are injured right now. They all kind of got nicked up as the season went on, and but it yeah, if everyone stays healthy for the start of next season, that's the deepest that linebacker room has been, and for a couple years now, you haven't really been able to take guys off the field at linebacker because you didn't have a good backup option to them, but now it's like you feel pretty good about if you're going to take Cam Robinson off for a play and you got Maddox Marcellus out there with a Trey McDonald or James Jackson. It's a different world for them, but hoping they get healthy this summer and we'll see what they look like. Now here comes the tough one. It's the defensive back room. Returning, you've got Jam Jackson, Dre Walker, Ethan Minter, who Tony Elliott said is a little bit nicked up right now. Caleb Hardy, who is injured, he's out for the spring, along with Antonio Clary, who again, like Jameer Carter, is back for year 18 or something at this point. And then Kiki Adams, a young guy, he's also injured. Some new names out there, Louisville transfer Devin Neal, Morgan State transfer Jason Pervard, and then Corey Costner, the freshman out there. This is probably going to be the lowest of the group. I probably have to go, if I put the running backs at a five, I got to go to a four for the defensive back room.
Yeah, I was thinking of three, to be fair.
Yeah.
This is the thing. They do have talent in the room.
Yeah, for
They
sure.
do. I mean, Antonio Clary healthy was one of the best players for Virginia last year. We would be talking about Antonio Clary and Jonas Sanker being possibly as two of the guys looking into the NFL. I mean, Antonio Clary was having one heck of a season before he was
Yeah.
injured. So we would probably had two DBs we were talking about this year if he was fully healthy. I think Jam Jackson improved as the year went on. I think he also has. I saw him, on Monday, and he gained some weight and muscle, so you can see a difference there. And he's a little bit older. I don't think that Virginia staff was planning to put him on as much last year. I think that he was going to use last year as a developmental, but with injuries, they were forced to play him a little bit earlier. It's just questionable of health. I mean, Dre Walker has been at Virginia 2 years, and I mean, he had his first pick at Boston College, and I think a few plays later he got hurt, and then the rest of the season he was missing. So just health. I mean, can they stay healthy? I mean, Ethan Minter last year, again, he wasn't meant to play as much as he did, but because of injury, I mean, the kid was playing quarterback. He never played safety in his life. And then he's there getting a pick. But he also was, out of position sometimes. I mean, you can't fault the kid for never playing a position. I mean, kind of thrown in there. So that is a question for them. And Tony Elliott has said they're going to be attacking the portal, and they need to. I mean, you're looking at that position, talking to, Jam Jackson, you mentioned Corey Cosner was one that was impressing them. And it's great having a young guy impressing them, but you also want those veteran guys that are coming in, the Kevon Grays, Kiki Adams, unfortunately, is hurt. So you want those guys that are coming in the second and third year to kind of step up. And that this is the main concern for Virginia, is this is a position where they do need to reinforce. Because I mean, if there's one or two more injuries this spring, I don't know if they can even field the whole game in the spring game. And when we were looking at it yesterday, we saw, I think it was Engelberg was with the ones. He was a walk-on. So that's where the numbers are right now, especially with Virginia having that, the way they play the defense, they need that extra DB. And Jason Pervard, who has experience at corner, is actually playing nickel. Because that was my main question, is who's going to play
Yeah.
Corey Thomas role, because they didn't really recruit, that star nickel role. So that's where he's playing. So, because I was wondering, would they move a linebacker to that role, right? You have a guy like Landon Danley that played safety in high school. So he could possibly have done it because he's got the frame for a linebacker, maybe can play closer to the box. So that was my main question. And I think that's an area where maybe Ethan Minter can play too. I don't know. But again, he's just a new to the position, so they do really need some more depth, like maybe possibly another corner and another safety when it comes to the spring portal.
Yeah, for sure another corner, maybe another safety too, just to kind of help with the depth issues there. Yeah, the nickel, we kept joking about it because we were wondering like who was going to be fitting into that role, and then that was the one spot when I'm filling out like my at-home depth chart, and I'm just like, I don't know what they're going to do here. It speaks to reason, this position has changed year by year under John Rudzinski. A couple of years ago it was Tavon Kyle, then it was Corey Thomas. And now you got Jason Brevard, all vastly different players.
Right. Corey Thomas is more of that linebacker kind of
Yes.
body type than that went there. And Jason Brevard is more like Tavon Kyle. So it
Yeah.
really has adjusted. And even Malcolm Green slid in there a couple of times
Yep.
before he transferred. I mean, so it's definitely a role that kind of develops depending on what talent they have. So that's why I was curious on who they would put in there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they also try to find somebody that could fit there maybe in the spring portal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brevard. I kind of asked him because he's kind of a, coming out of Morgan State, he's 6'3", kind of wiry, in that position, you're going to have to do a lot more run fits. And he says that he actually loves run fits and that's his kind of favorite part of the game, which surprised me as a boundary corner, but so that's interesting. It's good to see there. And Devin Neal, I think, is a player that has really entrenched
He's bigger than
himself.
I thought. He's bigger.
Yeah, bigger. He's kind of built, I'm trying to like, when he walked in the room, he kind of reminded me of Ronnie Walker, the running back for
Yes, yeah,
UVA.
you look like, yeah, I can see
Yeah, I was
similarity.
like, he's kind of built like Walker, and Walker was a big guy. So yeah, for a safety, he's got some girth, and he talked about kind of coming to UVA, looking at what Jonas Sinker and Antonio Cleary were doing out there.
Yeah.
That's what appealed to him the most.
Jason Brevard said too, I remember talking to him before his visit to Virginia. I think even before UVA had officially offered. And he said, I already knew I wanted to visit Virginia if they had me because of Jonas Sanker. Jonas Sanker was their biggest recruiting tool in the portal heading in December. I don't know how many times DB says, yeah, they're the team that had Jonas Sanker. So yeah, Jonas, and this is why having success and having guys go to the NFL Combine is such a huge thing for a program.
Huge. And it's pro day on Tuesday. I'm sure you'll be there soon. But that's pretty much the whole roster. We didn't get into special teams, but it's the same guys. So, take for what you will. But yeah, I think that'll pretty much do it. We'll wrap it up there. Hit on a lot today, and we'll kind of see how spring football continues to kind of go from here, and get the spring game. UVA will have a spring game. After much debate around the rest of the country, UVA will have a spring game on April 12th. But Jackie, thanks for so much for joining, and we'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it'll be fun to see some of the old players at Pro Day later on today.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw, Chico Bennett walking by last night as we were waiting to go in for practice. He was with Carla Williams. Carla was
Tyler
not
Neville's
fit.
there.
Yeah, Tyler Neville. Carla was not fielding questions about the coaching search at the time. She said hello and kept moving. Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. We're going to be back later in the week here on the Who's On podcast. I have got Zach Carey from Streaking the Lawn and Cuts from the Corner, as you know him from X. We're going to go back over our season preview predictions and how wonderful those all turned out. So that's going to come up later in the week here on the feed. We'll also talk a little bit about the coaching search, of course, because we have to. It's by law. I think it's contractually obligated to talk about it. But that's going to do it for here on the Who's On podcast. We'll see you later in the week.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.